Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 505 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
Glenn, you sound quiet, mate. I'm just saying.
I just said hello.
Oh, no, you sound quiet. And I don't mean like, are you okay? I mean, you sound quiet and you know what these cunts are like.
I sound as in my microphone.
That's better. That's like, better. Yeah, that's
Jesus
better.
Jesus fucking Christ.
If you could please exercise correct microphone discipline, please, to avoid the inevitable slings and arrows that'll come your way that you'll read and I won't.
It's how these people seek
validation. Wow, you sound amazing. Holy fuck.
What did you just change, Clint?
That's the best you've sounded in like fucking ever. Seriously.
I put my hands on my head.
Okay, don't move.
Don't, yeah, stay in that. Okay. You got to hold that pose now for the next hour.
Right, gotcha.
Okay, wow. I can see 5-star reviews coming for you.
Probably 100%.
For this one, Glennie.
That's 5-star reviews. That's not what they do. I've been great.
The scale is on a scale of 100. It's the Rotten Tomatoes scale.
I've been great every moment I've been on this show, and I was still great when I wasn't on the show. And these cunts just want to keep running at me, so they can have their turns.
Glennie, keep knocking
what's
them
up?
Down, do you?
It's like you're in solidarity with Noffa.
You know what he sounds like?
That's offensive.
He sounds like Royce Hunt, who has kept the meme alive this week by when talking about his stoush with the redhead crybaby Corey Horsberg. He was sent to the Symbian for striking after retaliating on Corey Horsberg. And so he's already penciled in their round 27 rematch. And when asked, he said, "We'll get him next game." He's, "I've never seen a front rower hide behind a halfback. You can't just hold me in and push me over and not expect anything. I was a bit upset about that. It is what it is. It's rugby league. We get on with it and bash him next game." He then went on to say, as Ricky Stewart would say, he's a weak-gutted dog. So he's kept it alive. Ricky gave us Ricky birthed it for us, and Royce Hunt, not even his own player, has kept it alive.
That's glorious. Fantastic.
I'm looking for it to become as ubiquitous in rugby league as think of every other like cliche, you know, 110%, you know, training the house down,
yeah,
unleashing Luke Brooks, all like all of the usual. I hope it has the longevity of all those cliches.
I can't remember because I've really tried to put it out of my mind, but I forget about the fact that I was socialising with this absolute fucking piece of shit scourge on society, Mike Stevenson. I had lunch with him over Christmas time when I was in Sydney. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he had a weak gutted dog T-shirt on.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
I feel he may have worn that.
As a Canberra fan, he's contractually obliged to wear at least 12 pieces of attire every season with actual quotes from Penrith players just because of how fucking badly the club owns his.
Right. Well, I wish he was contractually obliged to wear pants because that was a bit offensive.
Was he there on grand final weekend? Because I feel like he might have been. I feel like I've seen that shirt.
Oh, maybe he did. Again,
he might have worn it. Yeah,
I do try and erase my interactions with Mike Stevenson in particular.
There you go.
From my memory.
The other thing, like everything, that off the cuff comment has created a fucking uproar in the NRL media circles with fucking that is such a polarizing thing that oh, you know, Ricky said it and he got a suspension and it was the first suspension a coach has ever had, and now you can just say it and there's no repercussion. Like, fuck me dead. These cunts would argue over a bag of shit in the middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's had a swipe. That's all. It is an obvious swipe at the club and Ricky in particular. Like, it...
And also, there was no... It's not like... There's no, you know, profanity. No. It's not racial.
No.
It's not, you know, upsetting any group. Except for the only person that upsets is Clevo, because he seems to get upset when people call people dogs as an insult. So yeah, it's
imagine
not
how upset he'd be if he had a real dog.
What, not something that identifies as a dog?
Something that's closer to a slipper with a bum.
Now, I didn't have too much news really to talk about. There's plenty of stuff that's like revolves around the games, including the new strategy to unleash Brooksy.
Yes,
but. Something that caught my eye today, and it's not a story or anything, but it's just something I pulled from the WTF files of, like, why is this cunt piping up? The story starts, though, that the Dragons have basically said yesterday that they're going to start the application process for new coaches, and if Griffin wants to continue to coach them from next year, then he'll have to reapply for the position. And it's not like he's been sacked or anything. Like, I mean, they're saying at least with their words, they're indicating that, you know, like, he does have an opportunity to continue if he blah blah blah. That's fine, and I think it's actually a great move from the Dragons, because there's heaps of coaches, including well rated Dragons guys like Jason Riles, for example. I'm sure after Manly kill it this year, Flannery will be up for a job again as well. Dean Young's always highly rated. He's another old boy for those guys. So the coaches are out there to replace Griffin if they, you know, do the application process well. That's fine. That's not story. That's fucking good business, probably, from the Dragon side. The thing I saw on Twitter this afternoon, though, Michael Clark has torn the Dragons a new one over the farce surrounding coach Anthony Griffin's perilous fate at the club.
Oh,
Clark,
yeah, okay,
on Wednesday joined the chorus of outrage at the club's handling of the matter, declaring that the decision is a slap in the face for Griffin.
Is this Michael Clark the cricketer?
What?
Is it West Tigers member?
Who is he? the fuck is he got to do with anything?
What does he go up to Noosa and punch on with a female about Anthony Griffin's job if he feels about it?
That's what it was about, apparently. He was so upset about Griffin getting fired that he rooted someone else. He stepped out on his missus and rooted someone else.
So it,
Carl Stefanovic could be in there saying, give Dean Young the job.
He said that on Sky Sports Radio. So we assume that he's a regular on that show, or he hosts it, does he?
Is he a host?
I don't fucking know, but it says he said it on Sky Sports Radio. Fucking hell.
Yeah, that's what I didn't. I didn't want to talk about. I literally just want to say, what the fuck, dude? Stay in your lane.
Fuck me. Like, this is that thing where
I don't want to be a gatekeeper for rugby league in any way, shape, or form.
At all.
But.
Well, look, I guess it goes to the level of non-news there is at the moment, which I was thinking before the show, like before round one, I was all fucking set for us to have like a lockout season, and there's a fucking, we're delaying the season because this fucking RLPA bullshit, this happening, and
getting kids in that couldn't, that weren't good enough to play in the NFL, come and learn the game and play for scab teams.
See if Keanu Reeves wants to come play halfback. How did that just go away, or was there any?
Yeah, they it was an 11th hour agreement where the parties found their ground.
And did they ever put out what that ground actually was, or was did everyone just fucking spit private business and now it's all just we're sorted.
I feel like they did, but I mean, like, pulling it out of my ass like on the spot right now.
Yeah, okay.
I couldn't tell you, but I feel like they did.
Yes.
Because, you know, Vellani just has to realise that you can't, you know, that rugby league players, but they may be brain damaged meat puppets, but they're still smarter than fucking horses.
Correct.
And you can't bulldoze your way through rugby league like you bulldoze your way through racing.
Mm. Yeah. That's it.
So, anywho.
That's a fucking great week if there's no news.
Yeah, I mean, look, the stories mostly revolve around the games. Yes. I mean, we did have the passing of John Sattler. Probably not as old as you would like people to reach.
Yeah.
In this day and age. Iconic figure in the game, obviously. An iconic figure for the toughness that will probably result in class actions.
Yes.
Over the next decade. But
and what a pair of fucking testicles that gave the world the greatest tackle to ever be made in a rugby league game. That was his greatest achievement.
I'll tell you, that's. I was talking to someone the other day about random player meetings and stuff like that, and like one of my favorite ones is the way that you just like, I've never seen. Look, I've clocked Pornhub, right? But I've never seen anyone get from hello to deep throating someone's member as quickly as you on Scott Sattler when we ran into him at the airport that time.
I tell you, if your club had anyone worthy of that level of appreciation for achievements, then you may get to know what that feels like.
Maybe you'd give
the hard pass anyway, Nat.
I mean, it was like the Virgin Lounge at the airport. I mean, let's have some decorum, will we?
Wasn't a virgin after that.
No, that was...
It's the dirty hall lounge.
The virgin lounge got a fucking unscheduled lime washing that day.
He was a fucking gentleman that day. Everyone was dusty as fuck. We just had
a good bloke, yeah.
A grand final. And, like, did the like, okay, you know, yeah, we'll have a chat and this. And genuinely was happy to sit there and have a yarn about the grand final and how it went.
Yep.
And all that stuff. So, fuck, yep. Great bloke.
Agree. So, in the absence of any real news, let's get into these games. This week, the Roosters had the bye, which is, you know, they could probably use it, to be honest. Mm. I mean, they got off in the, you know, the 4-point game, you know, with a big win against the rivals, and I think they could use some time to heal up. The first game is the grand final rematch. Mm-hmm. Thursday night, the Parramatta Eels, the winless Parramatta Eels, the 0-3 Parramatta Eels. Yet not last on the table, Parramatta Eels.
Can you feel a draft? No, I can't, because the window's firmly fucking shut. Parramatta Eels.
Yeah, their window is such. That you would, it's the type of window you'd find on a submarine. It is so fucking sturdily jammed, closed, never to be opened. Take on the Penrith Panthers.
Parramatta are last of all the actual NRL teams.
Yeah. They're in the relegation zone. So, the Eels, they welcome back Ryan Madison after his self-imposed suspension. Following the grand final.
Yep.
Dory shifts to the back row. Murchie's out of the squad injured. And Brendan Hands will debut on the bench with Momoe Saia out of the 17. The Panthers side welcome back Scott Sorensen, and he replaces Eisenhuth on the interchange.
Yep.
Now, in a professional rugby league club where everyone's, you know, pulling in the same direction to achieve a goal that takes a long time, you know, and a lot of effort and things going your way to achieve, how well do players respond and receive a teammate who, for the sake of a couple of grand, who makes a decent amount of money in his contract too, mind you, for the sake of a couple of grand, misses the first three games of the season, in which they lost all three?
Can I look in the spirit of fairness, though, wasn't there like a mitigating circumstance where he assumed trials were going to count and then that changed or wasn't the case or something?
Ignorance is not a defense.
I know,
in the face of the law.
No, but there was something about it, like where he, or where he thought he had, like, you know, like a 5-day period to change his mind or something, or then he
tried. He tried to change his mind at the start of the season. But look, yeah, maybe I thought he was just being tight. Honestly,
Look, we saw it in the Roosters, you know,
and that's the narrative I'm prepared to run with, because I mean,
it's hilarious.
Fuck the Eels, etc., etc. Sure.
Like you look at the Roosters' first two games, and then look at the performance they put in against South Sydney. There is a vast difference in any team when they have something to get up for.
Yeah.
And the Eels have something to get up for here, because they were fucking embarrassed in that grand final.
Mm-hmm.
That went down as probably the poorest grand final performance in the history of the sport.
I'd be inclined to agree.
Yeah, they...
Doggies in 2014.
They really brought shame.
In a world where a team lost 40 blot.
Yeah, no, but Melbourne Storm played better than the Eels did. And like, they played better in that 40-0 loss. They played better in that 40-0 loss than the Eels did last year in the grand final.
Yeah. But, you know, the amount of shame that they've heaped on themselves and their families and the club, future generations.
Ancestors. Their ancestors.
That stink travels both ways through time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost as if it's just now this infinite stench of defeat that will waft and follow them around forever. So they better be up for it. And Penrith weren't at the top of their game the first two rounds either. So, it's an opportunity for Parramatta to really, turn their season around at this early point. Defence hasn't been their strong suit. So I'd be interested to see how this game plays out. And we mentioned it in the review show that there were so many games where the points were absolutely off the charts because no one was really putting that effort into defence. I'd be very interested to see how this game goes because that defensive mentality has been the backbone of Penrith's success over the last 3 years. So whether they get out there and they're just, well, fuck it, we're going to throw the ball around and score 1,000 points as well. Or whether they'll actually knuckle down and say, well, no, fuck you. You want to beat us, get in here and beat us properly.
I feel like the Panthers as well will just because of all the shit they talked after the grand final, I think they'll want to back that up as well. Yeah. Like they'll want to keep them in their place.
Correct.
I mean, and I guess the counter to that is, well, you know, the Eels through the regular season, the last couple of years have owned Penrith at their best. So do they take heart of that and use that as as what galvanises them and gets them, past their early season slump.
Put that in perspective. They just so happened to come across Cleary on his worst performance of the last 2 years, the first time. Then the next game was the one where he got sent off in the first 20 minutes. So again, there's been circumstances that favoured Parramatta in both of those wins. So they are still very, very
much
firmly
Penrith's sons.
Yeah,
but I mean, but you're talking about the grand final, and I mean, like, there were circumstances that favoured Penrith in that win.
That they were playing Parramatta. That's what I've been saying.
The game was a grand final.
Yeah.
And Parramatta Eels can't win fucking grand finals. I mean, shit, we've barely seen it happen in our lifetime, and we're fucking old as shit.
No, Penrith 13 plus, put your house on it.
Yeah, I think Panthers are going to potentially blaze out of this one, and I find it more likely that the Panthers have a return to form in this game than the Eels do.
Agreed. I see like 24-6, something like that. That's how I see it.
Okay.
Yeah, like a similar grand final, similar scoreline, are you saying? I mean, the grand final one tightened up because of a couple of junk tries, remember? But it was about that. It was 20-something to 12 or something, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, thereabouts, I forget.
I was busy feeding people jugs of water that have no gratitude for saving people's fucking lives. I was.
Yeah, no, you were just saving from getting kicked out.
True. Pub. And I was getting my ass handed to me at pool.
Yeah, I did hear that happened. Okay, we agreed there. So the Friday pub slot game, and my God, it is a battle of the strugglers as the Melbourne Storm take on the West Tigers. Down at the Korean Housewife in Melbourne. The Melbourne Storm, they welcome back Cameron Munster.
Mm.
And is Hughes suspended?
Yeah.
Hughes was suspended, wasn't he? Yeah. So one in, one out. But Munster is a big in for him. Tigers, bit of a shuffle around. Very similar to the side we saw in sort of the last 15 minutes of the game when they did put on some tries back to back to back with Dewey at fullback. Staines moves to the wing in place of the dropped David Nofaluma. The halves, Brandon Wakeham and Luke Brooks. And we got Papali'i returning from suspension as well to bolster the forwards.
Mm.
Offhand Goway out of the 17. Glennie, I'm going to ask you about the drops first. And your thoughts? Because remember, offhand Goway was probably one of their best players last year, right?
Yeah, he's as consistent as a Tigers player can be. In the positive sense, he was certainly consistent in getting his job done. I don't think he was terrible. And Nofa, you know, this is the week he gets dropped.
This is the thing. This is the thing with the Nofa thing for me. I mean, we spoke about it when we were watching the game on Sunday. Like the ball, there were like three occasions when the ball kind of went that side in the first half. One of them, Dewey threw the intercept. The other time, Dewey put up the kick, which was returned for a try. The other time, he put the hospital pass on to Bateman, and it never really went out right ever again. And when all the action started happening through the middle, they would then go, you know, it was through the left where they scored the tries. So. And I like to give Nofa a kicking. I mean,
he's one
of my favorite. Yeah, he is my national pastime. However, I have to wonder if his attitude or something like that in training or after the game, something happened there that made the decision for them, because I think it didn't look like it was performance aligned to me.
I agree, and the fact that. It has to be, as you say, something that has been said or done or a general attitude maybe during that game or at training. Because you can make the argument, okay, we want to change it up a bit. Maybe Staines wasn't the answer at fullback and we still want to find room for him in the side. You've got a relative rookie on the other wing. So, I don't know. Of all the weeks where he has made, and it's almost, or it has become a meme about the Nofa Highway, where he has made multiple horrible defensive decisions that have resulted in points over the last however many seasons, and he's kept his spot on the side, this is the week he gets dropped. Interesting. I feel like Wakeham at six is a knee-jerk reaction to a guy that played 25 minutes and did a couple of good things, but you're the starting 5'8" now.
And the dogs were absolutely exhausted, and the forwards like Clemmer took advantage of some tired boys in the middle to initially make those breaks.
Mm. Yeah.
But it's worth a try.
Is there something too? I've had a couple of different sources I've read say that. Dewey's playing through an injury. Like, his foot's fucked. And so he's not training with the squad. That was the reason that Sheensy gave for the move at the press conference.
Right.
Said, oh, he didn't train with the squad, so...
Yeah, but Dano's in the 14 for this game, so if he's got any problems, I mean, the guy that's played fullback for nearly all of the last 2 years...
Which is my next question. Glennie, what do you think of your bench rotation?
I'm not a fan of Dano at 14. I don't think he's that guy that he's going to be able to cover.
Is Sheen just going to turn him into skinny fucking Tyrone Peachy? Yeah.
Yeah. Look, if you were going to say skinny Preston Campbell, I hope so. But I also knew what you were trying to say, so I wasn't going to agree with you. But
It could be as simple as Dane comes into the into fullback and Dewey goes into the middle somewhere in the halves or something, maybe like a sort of a lock situation.
But again, who gets the rest then? You're burning an interchange.
Yeah, well, I guess it's insurance against it's insurance if Wakeham turns out to be dog shit.
Yeah,
I guess.
True.
I don't know. I don't know, but like it's Sheeny, he thinks in like, you know, 10D fucking terms. I mean, he's thinking of injuries and or replacements that may never need to be made, but he'll cover them nonetheless.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, the only, you know, look, if you're going to experiment with the side as part of the revolution, the week to do it is when you're playing the Ploddington Purple Plodders.
Yeah.
Who have no chance of beating you no matter what you do wrong. So, you know, it is a masterstroke from Sheen's. Just, you know, he's been in the lab. He's got the test tubes and the Bunsen burners out, and he's fucking cooked up a side that he's going to stick it to, you know, these fucking plodders.
Will, are you saying that this West Tigers lineup is the meth of football teams?
Close enough. Yes, yes. In Look, so many
despite
ways.
All that, in so despite, many ways. Despite all that, Glennie, I don't think you're without a chance.
No, I agree with you.
It can only go. Look, the only way that the Tigers can go in terms of performance and ladder position is up. The Storm have not been great. If the fitness that the Tigers showed holds true and they can stay close enough, then who knows? Maybe Wakeham in the halves is the final piece of the puzzle to unleash Brooksy.
Yeah. Well, here's a telling stat. Appy Korosau, you guys have taken the best hooker in the game, and to this point in the season, he is averaging 4 runs per game. So Sheenius has taken everything great about Appy and turned it off.
Yes.
The problem is that Appy sees his role there as like, you know how the story goes.
The person that gets paid lots of money for not doing much?
Well, that's what his role is. Well, yeah, the James Tamau role. But but what he was, it's like, you know, you hear the stories about how John Cena, how amazing he is and how he's done more wishes granted than anybody else, like, right?
Yep.
I think Appy sees himself like that for the West Tigers, and he spends all his time, instead of running and doing the Appy things he's supposed to be doing, when they get 10 metres out, all he's thinking is throw a crash ball to fucking Make-A-Wish Alex Twell, try and get that Gumby his fucking try. And I mean, there's 2 games this season where they just bounced off his chest, and another one where he dropped it on trying to put it down.
That is true.
So I think that Appy is going to, he's not going to go back to his old self until he's made this Gumby's dreams a reality.
Okay, so we need Twell to score a try for Appy to be effective.
Yeah.
Fuck. That's rough.
It's a tough. It's a tough pill for Glenn to swallow, because it means in all likelihood Appy's never going to be reaching his potential again.
Yeah. Anyway, fuck these plotters. Tigers 13+.
So you could have been at least realistic about it. Tigers aren't going to win 13+. If they win, it'll be, you know, 8. Just enough to stave off a last second try.
I said what I said.
Oh. That's a weird way to say Storm by 18, but cool. The Friday night football 8 PM game is the first local derby. The Dolphins take on the Broncos, and sides here, Dolphins with some big outs. The big out in terms of Wanda Sykes, Felice Kaufusi, failed to get his charge downgraded, is eating 4 weeks, and that 4 weeks might just be enough to stall the momentum of the new side. Jared Wallace returns, and I have heard that Katoa may not be 100%, so it may also potentially become a Milford revenge game.
Oh, there we go.
As well. The Broncos side, unchanged from last week. And why would you? They're going great guns. Glennie, what do you got?
Confucius is a big out. Who comes in for him? Wallace.
Wallace, yeah. Well, Wallace is on the bench, so they're now starting. They got but the Bromwiches in the front row.
Do they put Stone in the second row?
Yeah, actually, good point, because I don't actually know. I'm just looking here, and the team list hasn't updated post his suspension that I can see here, so I guess we'll have to wait until they cut it tomorrow night.
I just feel like his ability to force, you know, rush passes and force quick decisions, which could lead to errors.
Particularly the way they're running with the Reece Walsh out the back and everything too. I think a couple of late hits and pressures and things like that.
It's gonna put him in two minds, and that's that's a massive flow on effect, which is gonna impact the Dolphins' ability to get control. I think the Broncos have the advantage on the edges. Staggs and Farmworth both in really solid form. And Ewan Aitken has probably surprised me a little bit defensively. He's really stood up for the Dolphins, but him and Brinko Lee against Staggs and Farmworth is a real mismatch in favour of the Broncos. Yeah. And I just think that alone with those guys, if Reynolds can get those guys a bit of time and space, it's going to be a long night for Aitken and Brinko Lee, and then you've got Walsh off the back of that, on either side of the field wherever he's going to pop up. So I don't think the Dolphins are, even with those changes, I don't think they're without a chance, but I'm probably leaning towards the Broncos.
Yeah, my instinct is that the Broncos are a far better side and they're travelling far better, despite the fact that both sides are undefeated. But having said that, I mean, the Dolphins have shocked everyone to, get out of there with the wins that they have so far.
And it's not like they've proven to be flat-track bullies or to crumble in the face of adversity. We've mentioned it before that they've had some gritty, hard-fought wins where they've just kept themselves in games.
Their last two have been games where they've had to sort of come from behind or sustain a heavy challenge and then eventually pull away for the win at the end. So, look, and, Wayne Bennett's obviously, he's had one eye on this game, I would imagine, for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so if there's any coaching that he can pull out of his hat to give him the opportunity to put, one up over his old club in Kevy, then absolutely he's going to want to do that as well.
I don't think Bennett would even have to show up to the game to out-coach Kevin Walters, but...
That's right.
I'm just concerned about the Kafusi out. If he was in, I would probably tip the Dolphins. Just to grind it out and probably frustrate the Broncos' skill players in cutting down their time, but... I'm leaning towards the Broncos in a tight game.
Yep.
Yeah, I hope it's a tight game. I mean, for me, I feel like the Broncos are pretty far superior, but then just the way that the Dolphins have been going about their footy, I just sort of take that back a little bit and just sort of, if I thought they were a 10-point better team, then maybe sort of, 6 or 4 point better, taking that into account. But we'll find out. They can put on points in a hurry, as they proved in the junk time against Dragons, so... What I hope for is just a great first installment in this derby. And, hopefully can overtake the Cowboys one, which is, two sides that are about as far away as any two sides in the competition could be geographically.
Yeah, exactly.
Calling it a derby. At least these two share a ground every now and then. Next, the North Queensland Cowboys start off Saturday, taking on the Gold Coast Titans up there at the abattoir again. Although it's the cows that have been getting slaughtered lately. Neem starts at prop. Ruben Cotter's out. Tamau comes back onto the bench. I don't see that as a boost to anything. Titans unchanged to their side that upset the Storm last weekend. So this... Cowboys not travelling well.
No, they're really
not. At all. I mean, Titans not incredible,
at home
but
last week.
Yeah,
thoroughly disappointing.
I mean, like the Titans haven't been amazing, but you know they were good in stretches against Storm.
Mm.
I think this is a fortuitous timing for the Cowboys. If they had to come up against another top quality side this week, it could be the start of a real slide for them compared to where they were last year. But
yeah.
They should have plenty in order to handle the Titans.
Yeah.
Again, if they get back to that defense that was the hallmark of their success last year, if they get back to that patience that was the hallmark of their success last year, for these last couple of rounds, it's almost as if they've got this weird unearned swagger where they're like, oh, we're just going to go out and be dickheads and not even look like we're trying and it'll just come off for us.
Mm.
And I'm not sure if they
yeah.
they didn't actually appreciate how much work it took for them to win. Because they came from that position last year where they were... A lot of people had them predicted for the race for the spoon last year.
At the start of the season, they wanted the spoon teams.
So to just have a little bit of a longer memory in terms of, well, actually, no, we're not one of those, this is our third or fourth season of being there or thereabouts. Mm. We outshone everyone's expectations last year and we can quite easily slip back down the greasy pole.
And obviously Drinkwater's a massive out. And Shibasaki in the side is a massive
cancer
out.
This is a hot take. I don't think the Cowboys are travelling. I think they're travelling in a similar path to the Purple Plotters. And the Titans beat the Plotters last week. And there's no Drinkwater. As you say, Shibasaki's in the side. You're going to have Shibasaki having to make decisions with Kieran Foran time and space and Brimson. You're running off the back of that. I think that's a real danger for the Cowboys, and I'm going to tip the Titans.
I think
bold move.
If the Cowboys forwards can get up early and really see this as a challenge to them,
which they should at home. They should
100% they should.
100% they should run out full of fire.
Then I think that's where the Cowboys can get over the top of them.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the Cowboys should whatever that level is, I mean, they should show their quality this week.
Mm.
I mean, they don't want to lose two in a row at home.
No.
I mean, they are a better team than the Titans.
Yeah,
at their both teams at their best. But look, you know, the Titans aren't, like I said, they put it on the purple fleshlights last week, and so they're definitely not without a chance. Especially if they can attack as well as they did.
Yeah.
Because the Cowboys, in most of their games, seem to jump out and then lose interest, you know, 30 minutes in.
Correct.
So it's probably a matter for the Titans to weather the storm a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then see if they can come home like they did.
If Verrills was playing, I'd...
Yeah, that changes things.
I think the Titans would be fucking specials.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the Titans forward pack... They actually match up quite well against the Cowboys.
Yeah, but also I put it to you that in the game last week against the Storms, Randall wasn't terrible either.
No.
Right, Saturday night we've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs taking on the mighty Manly Seabs Eagles at Acor Stadium. The Rabbits, Selle is out under the new 11-day concussion protocol. Shaq Mitchell is out with a foot injury. Totola is missing with a knee injury. Saluka Fifita and Host come into the starting side, while Taffy returns to the bench. Manly side, unchanged from last week.
Big game. Go. I think this will be a cracking game. South, pretty handy favourites.
Heavy favourites, yeah.
Which, I'm not sure I agree with that, but I don't know, it's a test for Manly. Rabbitohs will be buoyed by, you know, they had a tough game, which would have sharpened them up, I think, last week against their nemesis. They come in against Manly, heavily favoured to win, and I think Manly have the side on paper to beat South. I just wonder if they might come up against a slightly more calm. I think the point you made.
Are you saying Cody Walker doesn't have a reason to hate Manly, so he's going to be awesome?
Yeah.
Here's a question. Does Cody
Walker...
one
of you made the other night about these games such as the Roosters or Penrith where he walks out there with the red mist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not one of those games.
Yeah.
How
does he feel about John Sattler? No, it's a serious question.
A good question.
Because we know how the West Tigers treated Tommy.
That is true.
Does this bolster does the emotion around it, does that provide the thing that tips South over
the
edge in terms of either performance or brain explosion?
I think it's offensive that you could possibly suggest that any other club or players within any other club could possibly fuck up a tribute like
dishonor their ancestors so terribly.
Like, it's offensive. There's only one team that can do that as well as the Tigers, and that's them. I hate to say it, Nate, but I'm going to lean towards South. I think it'll be a tough game, and it'll be close, but I think South will win.
Yeah, I think that... Go ahead, Jay.
No, go for it.
You go. I'll take the final word.
I'm going to be curious to see what sort of Cody Walker we get in this one, simply because this year he has only shown brain snap Cody or out of control angry Cody, and we haven't had those stretches of brilliance. And I mean, you know, 2, 3, 4 game stretches of brilliance between those brain snap moments that we were used to. It's been nothing but. So this one, I think, will give us a good indication of where he's headed for the remainder of the season. And really, what Latrell sees in terms of his representative future going up against the person who is... Let's say Teddy's the heir apparent... the incumbent for the one spot for New South Wales, then Latrell's going head-to-head with the guy who is poised to take it. So this is his opportunity to really stake his claim on what he can provide to a side at that red level.
Yeah, I think at the moment, the weird thing about the odds, on the betting odds, is like out of the two sides, Manly's clearly the form side at the moment. Yeah, going into this game. South have got a couple of injuries to their forwards as well, which I just think might put the other, especially like the way that guys like Homoli and O'Shea have been hitting, and Paseka's been fucking beast mode, one of the best prompts in the comp this season so far. It's really just going to come down to some, it's going to require brilliant non-head fucked Cody and Latrell to even keep South in it. You got to remember last year, South were a good team. They were, you know, a team that went deep into the finals. And when they came up against Manly, they barely won, even though Manly had a guy sent off in like the fucking third minute or something. Like South are literally our bunnies, and Manly's going to fucking destroy them. Siebe's revenge game. He's telecommuted to fucking Harvard this week. Just to get some extra lessons in, to think of new and inventive ways to fuck these green and red cunts up.
I never thought I would
13 plus.
He'd be that mature age student at universities, trying to hang out at student parties and.
How do you do, fellow kids?
No, creepier than that. Creepy, like Dennis Ferguson level creepy. You can just see Siebes.
Harvard's a university. Jay, it's not
that's the level of creep. Like, you can imagine him there going, I've got a daughter back home. Like, he's just slimy.
Don't talk about his daughter, he'll fucking take a leave from the game.
No,
he'll end up with the spoon when Peter Gentle comes in.
No, and he won't find me unless I put it in a messaging app, then take a screenshot of that app, and then use a different messaging app to send it to somebody.
And say that a mate of yours
who's close
knows
to
a guy
club.
Who knows a guy who's
so must be true.
Whose karate teacher's hairstylist has a chick who washes his dog who said that the other day
karate teacher's hairstylist.
Yeah.
Oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, so
who was out shopping for slacks and decided.
I tell you, they're all the rabbits. They're all going to be going home in their fucking slacks after this one. Let me tell you. The Warriors take on the Canterbury Bankstown Bulldogs. The first game on Sunday over in New Zealand. The Warriors side welcome back Nickel Cookstart fullback. Who else have we got here? Ford returns to the second row, replacing the injured Mitch Barnett. But Wado is out, which brings Freddie Lussick into the side. Which, I mean, it's, yeah, not a huge differential, I'd think, in performance. The Bulldogs, no change to their side that got the win last week, narrowly over a resurgent and plucky West Tigers side. Now, the Warriors have fucking been like sneaky decent this season.
Mm.
They really have.
Yeah.
They've, and just the, I reckon Webby over there has just got them, he's just like physically conditioning them better than they have been.
Yep.
In the last however many fucking years, thing, like, you know, half a decade.
Their fitness is great.
Yep.
And their errors are all but gone from their game.
Yeah, I mean, two things that are like, you know, directly correlate to,
that's it.
Yeah, to each other as well. The Doggies, they've been good in the getting their last two wins, but they've also played a couple of plodding teams. And you know, people look on paper and they go, oh, but not the Storms. No, the Purple Fleshlights are plodders this season as well. And the thing is, the Dogs have fallen to pieces in the last half an hour.
Yeah.
Of their last two games. To make games it, like, right? Yes.
Seraldo comes from Penrith, who would just outwork everyone and out-tempo them, right?
Yep.
He comes from that system as the most fucking lauded, like everyone wanted that cunt to come and coach them. And he ends up at the Bulldogs, who fade spectacularly at the back end of the game. What the...
It's because people in rugby league are dumb cunts. Right? So, Glennie... You've got people who like work for you in a warehouse, yeah? Like, you know, looking at parts and stocking shelves and...
Gotcha.
Yada, yada, yada. If there was a fucking shit-hot one of those and he was from the premiers of fucking the MI, you know? So, like, he worked for, like, Caterpillar or something.
Okay.
Right?
I'll accept that.
What, aren't they good diggers?
They work like RD. Work
don't do it, Nathan. That's so where I thought this other cunt was going, and you...
Well, I was going to say...
actually remembered the business names.
I was going to suggest that he might have an RM Williams sticker on the back of his car. That was going to be my subtle jab. But imagine if you hire this guy, you're right? So you come on over from fucking Caterpillar... you must be sick of working actually in the MI, so come and work for us. Just be MI adjacent.
How is it that I started by complimenting your club responded by just kicking me? I don't understand.
It's a fucking ultra marathon to get to the point.
Tell the truth. Right? But then when that
you take it so long, you're making me want to put my slacks on.
When that cunt's out there in the workshop filling up fucking nuts and bolts and shit, and putting them in the special trays, it'd be like you sitting there and going, oh, why hasn't the printer fixed itself? We got the greatest fucking warehouse guy ever. Why is this other fucking unrelated part of the same business not just automatically better as well? They do it with coaches. They do it with players. They go, oh, Penrith won premierships, so we're going to get a person from Penrith, and then that will solve our problems.
Look at Brennan and all these other ones.
I appreciate
Look at all the other ones that come from there. Webby seems to be going okay so far, but look at every other one that came out before Seraldo did.
Yeah.
Absolute dumpster garbage.
100%. And we've already been over this thing, like the Ben Hunt thing. How long has it been for Ben Hunt to reach this version of Ben Hunt?
Mm.
7 fucking years. How long did it take from when Gus entered Penrith? Now, you would suggest that for all his failings and all the controversial, like, dumb cunt shit that he says, that Gus knows something about running a football club or you know, building a juniors program. It took him more than fucking 7 years to create that Penrith. Like, Seraldo is not the operator that fucking Gus is from that point of view. He's not going to do it in fucking four rounds.
I would have thought that the level of fitness from a club from the ground up can be done in the off-season. Well, look, if they'd done the work, right?
While I don't disagree with Stepdad's point at all, and that's definitely a part of it, there is a much simpler answer for this particular one with the Bulldogs. I want to try and use the same analogy or the same, you know, ballpark that you were using. Say you had a guy who was the greatest runner of a MI Digger Parts fucking superstore.
Just for argument's sake, call him Robert Matthew Douglas Williamson.
No. And then he had the opportunity. He was the assistant manager of a smooth running, fucking goal kicking, MI fucking vending machine, right? Then he gets the option to go to the next, not a vending machine as in like a fucking vending machine, you know what I mean?
I know.
Yeah. And then he has the opportunity to go to a new one where he's actually the manager. He goes over there and realizes that for probably the last fucking minimum 2 years, but potentially 5 or 6 years, there hasn't actually been any staff whatsoever at that fucking other place. And it's basically just been fucking overrun by fucking sewer rats and God knows what else.
It's cobwebs Bulldogs, and garden furniture.
The Bulldogs had Trent Barrett for the last two fucking years. They are essentially an uncoached side. It's not just a matter of a single off-season of fitness that Seraldo had to remedy. He literally had to... He inherited a park football side that was somehow, due to the magic of a league that doesn't have relegation, was still up in that league.
Mm.
And it's going to take him a little while, because it's not just the fact that they're untrained. Also, you know, you've got the players that are just used to doing fuck all, sitting on fucking furniture that the boss brought in, and oh my God, isn't this terrific? They're an uncoached fucking side, and they had a caretaker for, you know, two years of being uncoached, most of a year with a caretaker. Now they've got a guy who apparently can coach a bit. So it'll take time. And also we've had this bullshit hot weather as well, so we're kind of, you know, we're giving like a 25% discount on fitness and poor decisions under fatigue, you know, so far, because, you know, it's clearly been terrible fucking conditions that we usually have in February and the competition's not on then, you know?
In summary, Warriors 13 plus.
No. In summary, I think the Warriors are fucking red hot chance to win this in New Zealand. I think they'll win it by probably 10 points.
Agree.
Right. The Newcastle Knights take on the Canberra Raiders Sunday afternoon in Newcastle. The Newcastle side, they welcome back a couple of big names for you, Glenny. Dan Saifidi, Brayley returns, Johns returns, Frizzle named as a reserve, but the big one, your mate, Kurt Mann. Starting lock, my friend. Greg Marzu comes into the side, replacing Dom Young, who has been dropped.
Oof.
Hetherington drops to the bench. Raiders side, Papali'i returns. Gula drops to the bench, Mooney to the reserves. And with Danny Levi getting a broken jaw or whatever happened in the game last week, we get Wolford straight in, gets a 9 jersey, and they continue with Starling at 14.
Mm.
Look, I don't hate that as a selection.
I think it's one of the best changes. I mean, unfortunate for a guy to get injured and everything, but I think as far as the performance of the Raiders is concerned, they're fucking on the way now.
Brayley in for the Knights is big. Fucking... Lachlan Miller was good last week. I don't... I don't think that's a terrible spine for the type of side that Newcastle are. And Canberra, away from home, facing an opposition with the worst player in the NRL playing 13. I think Newcastle might get the job done. Brayley being back is huge, and he's going to give them some of that forward punch through the middle, which they're going to need with Papali'i back for the Raiders. But I'm going to tip the Knights in a close game.
Raiders starting with the hooker for the first time this season. Big Papali'i back inside.
They won't know
inside.
What to do themselves.
Yeah, Papa back, but again, Nate, as you alluded to, some
time off. Knights fucking hopeless too.
Some time off and some hot weather. Can he do as much as he would at another time of the season?
But what's the forecast for this weekend? Do we pass that shit now or what?
I don't know. I'm tipping Canberra for this one. I just think
same.
Newcastle are paper thin in terms of depth.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be too many opportunities for Canberra just to camp themselves down there. And all you need is one sit out of there where Whiten doesn't kick it out on the full. And they're in.
Yep.
So there's too many points in Canberra.
What they need to do is delegate all attacking grubbers to Hudson Young.
He was fucking good when he was putting him in last year.
That guy's strike rate.
Yeah.
Is probably better than fucking Alfie Langer.
But fuck, how many times have we said this though? It's not like the coach of your side had one of the most lauded short kicking games in the history of the sport. How the fuck are you that bad?
Yeah. I mean, how many times you see all these ex-halves and everything as consultants for teaching halves how to do shit. You've got one as a head coach. It's fucking...
Yeah. It's been my
point.
He can
work with
you
every day, all day. Do extras.
I would love to know what sort of external coaching the Tigers have ever gotten in for Luke Brooks. You know, have they actually...
Did they not have Joey at some point?
Brooks.
They had Joey at some point.
Did they?
I'm pretty sure they did, didn't they?
Nah, Clinton? I don't think so.
You sure?
I think Joey has probably come out and had some positive things to say about Luke Brooks, but not because they were paying him.
Well, given him, it was the next him. You have to. But this is a thing.
So he said it willingly when he was high on drugs.
Probably. It's but the only time you get it out of him.
Yeah, well, Whiten has the fucking halves consultant all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't
be. Anyway, I'm thinking the Raiders.
Yeah.
Okay, and Glennie out there on Newcastle Island. By himself.
Kiss of death.
Fucking his volleyball. The Dragons take on the Sharks in the last game of the round. This one at Jubilee. The Dragons have Couchman returns after being omitted last week. Michael Molo drops to the reserves. The Sharks side, big in, Nico Hines. He makes his debut for the season. Trindle goes to the bench, and Jack Williams to the reserves.
Nico back, big win for Cronulla.
Yeah.
Agree. Big win. Now look, and the Dragons have been like very good, at least for first halves of games. So maybe it's a big win if the Sharks pour it on late. But I still think, regardless, I think it's a comfortable sort of, minimum 10-point win to the Sharks on this one. Because the Sharks haven't been incredible. Their defense certainly hasn't been. And Nico's not going to solve that, in and by himself, just returning to the side. So, I mean, there are problems that need to be fixed in that Sharks side. But I expect their attack to fucking hum. And as we saw last week, 10 minutes of that at the end of the game against the Dragons is enough to really pad your fucking stats.
That'll do it.
I think we're all agreed on that one pretty emphatically. So that's it. That's the games. Remember, I was going to say, the more you put on, the more you get back. You see the latest thrust of the betting, like, disclaimers now? Remember how it used to be like, bet with your head, not over it. Now it's, I can't remember exactly what it is, but
what
it's something
think,
like along the lines of
what you're gambling.
Think of all the shit you can buy with the money that you're gambling with.
That's it.
Essentially. Think about all the shit you could have if you didn't spend it on gambling.
Man, it's so funny. I still listen to that though, and our, like, T's and C's or whatever they are, are fucking nothing. Like, I was listening to an NBA podcast at the gym the other day, and they have a DraftKings ad.
Right, yep.
And, like, the one ad literally goes for 3 minutes. And 45 seconds, I reckon, is actual ad copy. The rest of it are disclaimers. And they have to read out on this audio ad all of the phone numbers in, like, 14 different states for if you're addicted to gambling.
I've heard some of those on Bill Burr as well, when he's talking about stuff,
It's absolutely fucking nuts.
Yeah, it's crazy. And their medical ones are hilarious too, because they got 3 minutes of chipmunks speaking at the end of the ad, going through all the possible side effects and and fucking whatever.
Yeah. But, man, look, I have in some aspects seen behind the curtain of the gambling companies. And they could in their terms and conditions, they specify how they make money. That their business model is for you to lose your money.
Mm.
And people still want to bet.
Yep.
So,
and think that skill or something insulates them, or they can win with skill. Well, no, because I mean, if you start winning with skill, then they start accepting like 30 cents on the dollar of bets because you're taking too much money out.
But even then, it's not even winning with skill. They have odds in place to make sure that they don't lose money.
Yes.
So even if you win, they have only let you win to an extent that they find acceptable.
Yes. Yeah. But even then, they don't find any of that acceptable, because then the next time you go to put a bet on, even if it's, I've had mates who've had excellent weeks and, you know, taken a couple of thousand out of them, the next time they go to put on like a $10 bet, they'll accept 30 cents of it.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
But yeah, don't gamble. Unless it's Russian roulette.
I don't give a fuck. Do what you want.
Or overuse of drugs.
Like, do what you want. Role model. But don't be one of those cunts that buys lottery tickets thinking that there is a good chance of you winning it, you know?
Yeah.
Do whatever the fuck you want to do. Do what makes you fucking happy. But educate yourself on what you're doing. No?
Yep. See if Siebes can teach you a basic course in probability and and odds.
Probabilis Siebes.
All right, that's it. What was that? Episode 505. Thanks for listening, everybody. Don't forget to get your tips in. If you'd like to support the show, of course, head to twillnation.com/links. You've got links to all the Patreon, the social media communities. We've had a lot of people coming into the Facebook of late, which is great.
Yes.
Welcome to all you guys.
Don't search for us on normal Facebook. You've got to search in groups. Search in the groups tab, search for Twill Nation. And then eventually someone else will let you in.
Yeah. So. Literally go to thisweekinleague.com/links and everything's fucking there.
What's on the Patreon this week, boys? Are we doing a game companion?
I don't know. Potentially. I mean, I find the games at the end of the week, the Sunday afternoon. Well, I mean, look, you know, we could talk the Sharkies one if you want to. I mean,
the Tigers are Friday.
The Tigers are Friday pub slot.
I can't do that.
I mean, I can do pub slot. Probably no problems, but
is it a Tigers game companion without you, Glennie?
No,
that's it, right? I mean, but you gotta get home by about 10 to 6.
Second half,
to do the pub slot.
Just do the second
half.
Yeah, you can do that, Glennie.
No, I can't. We got a dinner. Can't.
You can do it. Put your ass into it, Glennie. Come on.
Well,
what do you mean you've got a dinner?
A dinner to go out.
So just eat dinner food. Early.
Is it like the MI Vendor of the Year Awards dinner?
Well, the MI Vendor.
Thanks very much for listening to episode 505 of This Week in League.
Is it one of those awards you have to nominate yourself for?
I've had enough of these cunts. And you have to pay $3,000 for the certificate. Talk to you next week.
See you, fellas.
Later.
Fuck, man.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.